What up, everybody? It's the Well-Spoken Token coming at you again. Guys, it's so fantastic to be here. You know I love y'all. You know it's a great day when you're here with me in the pod. I'm so thankful that you clicked on the link. You opened it up. You said, I'm waking up in the morning. I'm getting all my Well-Spoken Token-ish. Or I'm going to bed. I'm getting all my Well-Spoken Token-ish. Whatever time you heard it, I hope that your ears are soothing, wonderful, and all that good shit. You know, as always, I've got my brother with me. Say what up to the people, bro.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. That was fantastic. I got another point, man.
So kind. So good. I love that.
Wow, you're so great, man.
Yeah. I love you.
Everybody loves positivity.
This is great, bro.
Nobody's frustrated with you.
No bullshit. Oh, yeah. We also have an illustrious guest. Thanks, Jesus and Meryl. RIP to the pod. Illustrious guest, Young Deuces from G-Set fame of multiple A-list talks. Young Deuces, say what up to the people.
Yo, what up, everybody, man? It's your boy, Young Deuces, representing the Geek Set podcast, the only podcast that blend hip-hop culture and geek culture together. And yeah, I'm here, man. I'm excited.
We love when niggas got, like, their own pre-roll. There's a lot of people will be like, a lot of people will come in there and be like, I'm Jared.
And this is all I got. This is what I got for you. Yeah, right. I got shit else with it.
You know, after doing a lot of these, you start to get a spill. You know, I was telling somebody, like, my guy was on, like, Instagram Live, and I'm like, oh, let me just chime in, check in with him, right? Mm-hmm. And so then he pulls me up, you know what I'm saying, to be on screen. So I'm like, all right, cool, this is my guy. Let me chop it up with him. And like 5 minutes in, he's like, bro, what are you doing? I'm like, what you talking about? He's like, you ain't even do your intro yet. I'm like, well, it's not my podcast. He's like, no. He was like, that's become a thing now. So now you got to do your intro everywhere you go. So now
when we hear the voice, we got to hear the intro. You know what I mean?
Right.
He felt slighted because, look, man, when you come on somewhere and you got a fucking spiel, you're supposed to do the thing. You're like,
I paid for the thing.
Hey, if you book Snoop Dogg, right, and he don't bring no weed, you're already.
I don't want sober Snoop Dogg on anything.
Right. And he got to call me nephew at some point.
Like, yeah, there you go. You do that for the blacks, right? That's what you do for the blacks.
I need to be inducted because Snoop Dogg is everybody's uncle. He always calls you. If you don't call you nephew, then I mean, like, are you really even a part of the culture?
Right.
Like, did you meet Snoop? Like,
speaking of Instagram, right? Like earlier, you had said, like, your homeboy pulled you on Instagram Live. You just got like a crazy Instagram comment not too long ago from the one and only Rick Ross.
Yeah.
That's a flex beyond flex,
man. That
are you an industry plant? What you got for us? Come on, man, give us the Charlemagne shit.
I told that nigga, I was like, hey, look, we gonna ease this in.
I gotta know, nigga, are you an industry plant or not?
Before he says it, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand, when I said he has A-list talks, this man has talked to A-list community members in the blurred community. I mean, I'm talking Laz Alonso, Boys fame. Oh, the nigga is incredible. He's been in multiple hood movies. But like, if you're watching The Boys, MM is a gem.
Himself. And we appreciate that you're not currently the complete comic book iteration of your character, because I really wouldn't want to see that. That shit,
man.
That shit would hurt my soul to see such a strong brother have to do that shit.
Yeah, nah.
But you know what's, it's y'all brought up Charlemagne, right? And this is shout out to my people's Critics of the Culture. They put together like all these memes, like all the blurred memes that you normally see on Instagram.
He's made a genesis point.
Yeah. And he was telling me, he was like, what y'all building that Geek Set, and this kind of gave us our drive. He was like, right now we have, like, if you are artists, you know what I'm saying, like, you want to go to the Breakfast Club, Sway's Universe, I-95 to drop those freestyles, whatever, like, you have a goal point to go to.
Yeah.
If you're an actor, you want to hit that late night circuit, you want to go to the Fallon.
You want to do Letterman, you want to do Fallon.
Yeah, of course, you've got
Letterman's not even here no more.
Right, but if you like a top tier blur, let's say you killing it in the voice act, like you Zeno, right? Or like you killing it in the cosplay space, you have no place to really go to celebrate, right? There's nobody reporting on this culture. And I was like,
there's not an 85 South show for you. Yeah. Like,
And there's a lot of us that are within this blurred culture. And I'm like, I'm a fan of like all these podcasts and everything like that. But I said, you know what? What I want my role to be is, I want that. I want to be the people that be like, when y'all do something, like, yo, did y'all hear about the Well-Spoken? Like, did y'all hear what they did? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we are reporting of the culture, but also, you know, highlighting our heroes, you know, like, you know, you talked about, you know, when I had B.O.B. on there, on my podcast, the great thing I love about the conversation that I'm having is that out of all the B.O.B. podcasts that you listen to, interviews that you listen to,
yeah,
you're not going to hear him go in depth about anime.
Yeah, you don't get to hear him drop like his yeah. knowledge on Resurrection of F and all that other shit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That nigga, so, yeah, he a blood that nigga was. I learned from your shit, like
Biggie,
a Dragon Ball fan.
I say that's a Dragon Ball head for sure. A nigga that's definitely gone into the weeds. I'm like, okay, this is fantastic. This shows young niggas, young nerds, young blurs all over the place. It's like, yo, this individual made airplanes, nigga. Like,
well, you got to remember, like, I was, and you remember, we grew up together. Like 2010, I was the biggest fucking B.O.B. fan.
Man, right?
I was doing the haters everywhere we go dance, nigga. Right. I love that nigga. So,
but and, like, and look, when the fucking Coons thing came out, I was right here with B.O.B. Like, fucking Coons. Like, I was right here.
I get it, nigga. I've been there.
But like, that's the main, because like, you know, as we started, you know, you guys know, man, when we be in these places and we be having these conversations, we're like, yo, there's a lot of people who have this deep knowledge and love for anime, video games, comic book, mangas, whatever, but they don't never get a chance to talk about it. You know?
Right.
So like, I like to have to keep on doing that. Like, I saw this other website that was doing like a report on like the actors from The Shy, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, I interviewed Tiffany from The Shy, and on my interview, we found out that she loves video games, right?
Word.
I'm talking about a video game nerd. She loves, she's been playing all the Final Fantasies. So they did like
a nerd,
right? Yeah. So they did like a top 10 things you didn't know about Hannah Hall, which is the actress. And it was, and two of the points on there was like, per the Geek Set podcast, we learned that she loves comic books and she loves video games. And I'm just like, yo, to me, That's small
that annotation, so, that like that little annotation, that little reference, the fact that like
just being sourced is exactly enough.
You're the source. You're like that is the fact that that's your goal, like that's the role, like having a spot and thought process, like, yo, this is the role I want to occupy, is something that is like, it's so not necessarily rare, but it's so awesome, like to see like somebody was like, yo, I'm working and striving for this opportunity. A lot of people are fighting so hard to just be in the space, right?
Yeah.
But to have a nigga say, all right, cool, if you're fighting to be in the space, right, I've already got these legs up here, there, which I would love to talk about, not necessarily legs up, but like,
yeah, that was a little pausey, but it's okay, man. You did your thing. I know you in your bag and you think out loud. You gotta do what you gotta do,
hey, look, man, this nigga pointed out something earlier. He was like, yo, you know, you think out loud, nigga. Like, I was like, what? He's like, yeah, no, you literally form the thoughts
as you're fucking, as you speak. Moving. And like, hey, that's good for you. I'm trying to be the cunning nigga, but you can be that nigga.
That's only something that somebody who knows you can find out, though. Yeah. Like, nobody else would have pointed that out but him.
The hard part is not saying it in front of other people. Like, you know, when the charm is working on motherfuckers, I'm like, hey, do y'all not know this nigga's a piece of shit?
This trash. Doesn't know shit. This nigga is coming off the dome. Like, bro, dust his knees off.
Yeah, right. The dick eating is crazy.
That up about the knowing your role, right? Because like, you jumped out here, like, yo, the only podcast that combines nerd culture and hip hop culture, and only a part of me felt like a little crabbish, little fiddler crabbish. I was like,
rip this nigga from his pedestal, nigga.
The thing is that it's what I'll say is this:
it's true, though.
And it's true, because the thing is that what I'm doing is like, it was like, okay, cool. I'm here for anime. I'm here for like D&D. I'm here for like these kind of things, and like my specific thought process is looking for niggas that were like targeted for being like tokens and tokens and shit, right? But like the thought process, like when you define the role, I was like, damn, that makes all the sense in the world. Yeah. A little fiddler crab died inside. I was like, well, nah, I can't even
also like, you know, saying shout out to Lil Wayne. It's kind of the Lil Wayne effect. Lil Wayne, before he was considered the best rapper alive, or you know, even in that debate, he said it that whole like
before they even years, said it was
right. Yeah. And so I was like. When we first started the podcast, I didn't know that many podcasts that did it. Now, obviously, of course, as we got into it, I'm like, oh, there's a lot of podcasts that talk similar and do the same things as it was. But I'm like, but if we keep on saying it, it's going to
eventually become true.
They ain't us, though. They ain't us, though.
Well, like I said, that's what I changed, because I was like, you know, we talked about it in pre-production. Like I was telling you guys,
I love when a nigga is a podcaster and he don't even have to say pre-production. It's just like, yeah, in pre, he know the lingo. We love
it. But we were talking about like how Milwaukee felt overlooked, right? Or, you know, the Midwest, we seem like we get overlooked. And so we show love to the people who do show us love. So like, that's embedded in me. So thinking about like musically, and like, we talked about how we approach the podcast game musically. Yeah. I said, you know what? I said, everybody's doing this. And I was like, and I generally be loving the conversation, but I'm like, we need to celebrate each other and find ways to celebrate each other. And I said,
yeah,
I'm
just give flowers.
Yeah. I'm gonna create that platform and I'm gonna keep on building. And if I see somebody doing some dope stuff, I'm gonna invite them to my platform. I'm gonna show up and support, because I was like, that's what we need. I was like, because we can't all just be only just trying to be the one.
Yeah, because we can't all be the one. Yeah. That's but why, like, you know,
everybody can't be Superman. Nigga.
This might be like completely derailing the shit, but that's why, like, anytime somebody says like I'm him, I'm like, you can't be him every day, nigga.
Yeah.
If you say you him, you got to be him every day. You got to show up as him every fucking day. Yeah. That's why I'll never say I'm him.
Like niggas that do say I'm him and stand on it and show, I'm like, oh yeah, no, that's him. That's him right there.
But the one who's him don't gotta say it.
But this is also, I think, why people in general like to work with us or even bring us onto their platform, because our focus is amplify, right? We just want to amplify voices, right? Whether that is just me showing up, being a part of the conversation, or me just, you know, saying, highlighting people, you know, I often, because we're in this community and we talk online and we do all this stuff, when we get on our podcast, a lot of the times when we're talking about it, I'm like, oh yeah, hey yo, so such and such and worse Jen said this,
right?
Hey, that was fire.
You say their name.
I'm saying
you gotta like, say, and I admire that. I always admire that in creators, because it's just like, we get so wrapped up in the notion of competition that we don't think to ourselves like, hey, the more you say your peer's name, your rival's name, the higher you elevate the game. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, if you
game is elevated, you're not only like, you're elevating everybody, which means you're still getting higher. Like, this is right.
We come up together.
Like, if we're all like, everybody's eating, so like, what's the problem?
Because I also love, like I said, I said that to me, you got to be genuine with it, right? You know, so it's like, I like to talk about people when they're not around. So that way, if it ever comes up ever, they'd be like, hey, yo, I was listening to the Geek Said podcast. They shot you out. You like, wait, what? But it's that, because it's like, it's building that community. Because to me, the way I feel like it is this. I'm like, all right, if I want people to be interested in us talking about geek culture, I'm excited about it because I'm having a conversation with y'all. So if I want them to be fully invested, I want them to know y'all points. So that way, when I do reference y'all, you know, they were like, oh yeah, you know, it's kind of like like I said, I look at All Def and what they did for comedy. And I'm like, oh, I want to do that for Blur Culture. Because if you watching All Def, if you hear Kev on stage, shout out comedian CP, it's not weird for him saying, oh yeah, CP said it, because y'all like, oh yeah, they fuck with each other.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I want that where it's like, yo, I can shout y'all niggas out. Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Virgil was talking and bro said this and stuff like that. And niggas be like, oh yeah, yeah.
I remember that. Yeah, yeah. No, you create the reference place. You have to, once again, you said Kev on stage. We're not supposed to say Kev on stage's name on here. But
I didn't know that.
No. It's from a while back. It's okay. Our mom is a massive Kev on stage fan, and we say it every time. And one day she looked at my brother. It was like, you know who you look like? You look like Kevin's. You look on Kev on stage.
Kev on stage. I'm like, all right, look, man. And right. So whenever this comes up, it's like, yo, no disrespect to Kev on stage, right? You married ass.
I actually love that nigga. Actually,
hey, I interviewed him.
Yeah. Where is that coming out? Where is it at?
It's been out. That's two years ago.
I'm about to go to the backlog.
You gotta go. Like I said, I got that playlist. One-on-one with Deuce's playlist. You can see everybody that we interviewed.
Gotta go all the way down. Okay, cool.
Fantastic individual. Love the fact that he's eating out there. But I'm like, I don't look like that nigga. And on top of that, if you think I look so much like his ass, why don't you pay my Patreon? I don't have it. You can send me $5 a month, mom. That would be fantastic.
Right. So, give me that allowance you owe me.
Rich ass Kevin on stage. He's fantastic friends. Kevin on stage, his mama love him. Why don't you let Kevin on stage?
What's crazy is like, oh, because he talks about Jesus, we gotta fuck it. All right, cool, that's fine.
He doesn't really curse, whatever, cool.
But I respect him though. We love him. But back to what you were saying about community, it's like, I think even deeper than just like building the community, because community is just like, not just, but like, it's a smaller subset of an ecosystem, right? And what gets me is like, this whole blurred black nerd ecosystem has never existed before.
Yeah, no, so, it's pretty fresh as far as like the last 10 years. Like we are a new and budding kind of
culture. You want to know what's funny? Like what you said, this is what we realized. And I was like, dog, this is crazy. So like when one of our big highlights of this year is we got interviewed by Forbes magazine, right? And we got to chop
it up. Fantastic article, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah.
Good shit.
And so, but when you go into like the search and just type in Blurreds, we're the first mention of Blurreds in there. But when you look at their interviews, they've interviewed so many people, right? So we had did this thing where it was like Blurreds on Forbes. That was our hashtag, Blurreds on Forbes, right? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, bro, you know what I'm saying? I was like, behind the scenes, we're talking to some people trying to get, you know, this culture into, because we, again, we want to be the people that we can start bringing in other people. Like, we are going to be the reporters of the culture, and then we can introduce the world to it, right? So we're talking to some people behind the scenes to try to make that a reality on a national level. And the thing about it is, like, they've talked to other Blurreds, but never even said the term Blurred. So, like, they're so interested in this culture. Because I'm like, and I've been using this analogy for people. I said, right now, we're in a space where it's like at the end of Black Panther. Remember when that kid saw T'Challa and he's like, who are you? And then his world was opened up because he learned about Wakanda.
Suddenly, that's valuable.
That's blurred culture. So many Black people that I'm talking to, when I explain to them what blurred culture is, that like they may get introduced through me, but I'm like, yo, we didn't start it. Let me show you about all this culture that's here.
Yeah. And there's a large pipeline of how we got here.
Their minds open up and you see them like, and I've had that happen on through interviews. I interviewed the black cop from Stranger Things, right?
Yeah.
You
gotta understand. You watched Daredevil. You watched Marvel.
I did indeed watch Daredevil. I love Daredevil.
He plays Turk. Right. So you
Okay.
Yeah, you would think that he knows that he's this nerd, right? Yeah. So when we did the interview and after we started putting out the clips, I always pay attention to how the people I interview promote, right? To see what resonated with them, right? Mm. And him, he's like, hey, yeah, you know what I'm saying? My geeky ass self, man. You know, but in the interview, he even said, he's like, bro, I used to try to fight it, but you know what? I'm with y'all. I'll rock with y'all. You know, I'm a nerd. I'm a geek, right? And now I'm seeing all his posts. He keep on calling himself, yeah, you know, my geeky ass. Right, you know? And I'm just like,
he's been validated. It sounds weird, but he's been validated in that.
Yeah.
Suddenly, it's like, oh, this
you're not alone anymore.
This is no longer something that can be like degraded for. Like, you can't be made for, like, this is not something to hide in the closet. Because guess what? Like, we're here. Like, we've made it. We've made this to where you can be in the mainstream. You can be enjoying this stuff out in the open because it's that. Yeah. We've taken all the hits for you, and we've like essentially allowed this.
You know what's crazy? I think that there are still hits to be taken. Here,
of course,
you know, like, especially as the platform, the platform's creating,
got it coming. Y'all, no, I'm not wishing on anybody downfall.
Oh, yeah, no, I would never
take y'all away for sure.
Yeah, but so here's the way, like, so you're working on your documentary, right? I'm trying to remember the Black Geek documentary, right? And I think that that's such an important step in creating a platform,
yes,
you know I mean. Creating that you know, like getting in Forbes is one thing that makes you a published, you know, creative or whatever, right? But that's creating the documentary, you said what, bro?
I said, yeah, but that's a solo dolo accomplishment. That's like just you guys as a group,
as a collective.
This is like something that like to strive towards. It's a cool goal for kids to have, but there's no chronology of like this come up of this culture that's being discussed. Sorry, but go ahead. Bro.
But the documentary gives media to point directly to, like, hey, do you want to kind of see how it goes, et cetera, et cetera? Do you want to kind of see like the direction we're probably heading or like different perspectives? This is the direct thing to point to, right? And I'm like, damn, that's crazy.
Sorry to jump in there.
You know how it goes.
But I was gonna say, I attribute that same thing, like, if you look at noisy documentaries, right? Like, you know, all the
or Vice or the whole night,
anything like that. Like, the reason that we have documentaries is so that you, like, people can be exposed to something that, like, to them would be something of a subculture, right?
Yeah.
Like, noisy documentaries, like that Noisy Atlanta, like that blew up a lot of that showed people a different side or a different perspective of it. Like, they gave them a scope of what this like thing that they'd only been like sampling for so long. And so I think that's what's really cool about having the thought process. It was like, yo, we need a documentary.
Yeah.
The culture.
I mean, but was that your thought process when you were like, you know, conceptualizing the documentary, or was it just like, hey, this is the next step? Because, you know, I mean, as a creative, as you know, whatever, sometimes, especially creative today, it's just like, hey, everything you create has to be created in steps, and each step elevates you to the next step. Like, okay, we do the Forbes and then we get the documentary and that gets us evolved. It's like Digimon or whatever, right?
Right. I've got a college dropout so I can late registration. So that
I can 808s and heartbreaks, so I can buy then I can just coast on Yeezus. Yeah.
So the actual thought process was based off of the conversations that we were having. The Forbes thing, like that one came as a result of that. So we've started, people started being more interested in who Geekset is and what we do, right? And as we were having these conversations, I'm like, yo, a lot of the people that we're talking to don't really know about this culture, but because
you mean blurred, like black nerd, black geek culture in general.
But because we're in it, we're seeing it grow within, but I'm like, yo, somebody is going to swoop in and report on this culture incorrectly. And I said, we can't have that. I said, let's put it out there that we're doing this. And one of the reasons why we want to do it is because, like, we want to showcase and highlight our heroes and everything like that. But kind of but what you said and what you guys said, like, eventually there's some things that are going to come. I said, the only way that a culture can grow is if we are honest about the things that we need to fix and be vocal about it as well. So a big major part of the documentary that we're doing, like, yeah, we're highlighting, talking about the creation of it, talking about the things that we're loving, that we love about it. But we're also saying, let's put it out there. What are some things that we need to fix that you want?
Here's the problems.
A good chunk of us are fundamentally broken. Us have an emotion.
What makes me kind of nervous about it is just like, so since this is, and now that we've been kind of doing this for a while, it's like, hey, this is a very fringe culture.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We're still able to just reach out and touch whoever is in this space. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know who the top.
There's so many cooks. Like, there's so many different types of people that live in the blurred space. You've got niggas that are clothing artists. You've got people that are recording artists. Like, there's game all streamer, these individuals. Yeah. So, like, because we're so fringe, a lot of us operate in a niche. Like, we are blurreds, right? But the niche culture that we operate in, like, is game.
We addressed that. And so this is one of the reasons why. So when we first started it, we was going to do like a traditional style documentary, right? Interview folks, you know what I'm saying? Talk about it, mix it with some clips and B-roll, whatever like that. But then when we realized, he said, yo, that's not going to give us the full story. Because one of the things that we realized is going to conventions and seeing how that, like how we operate in conventions and how we are with each other at conventions, it really, like, it's a different experience, right? So we was like, you know, one of our cinematographers that are part of the documentary, he's a barber, right? Okay. And
barber game.
We go to barber shops. Y'all know how it is. It's hip hop, sports, stuff like that. Yeah. And his, it's filled with nothing but anime posters, Funko Pops. On his TV, it's not ESPN or or the hood movies. It's anime, right? And so I'm like, yo, this is a part of the culture that a lot of people probably don't understand, right?
They've never been able to operate. All I'll say is this: a lot of us haven't been able to operate in barbershop spaces. A ton of us, because there are, and I'll go ahead and get to, like, you know, profuse N-word use is coming, niggas. But yeah, so essentially, like, you've got niggas that can operate in a space of like, okay, well, I'm pretty hood adjacent, right? I need to get my fucking haircut. So I'm going to go down the road. I'm going to go get my haircut, right?
But I can't be a nerd when I go over there.
I'm here listening to the old heads. I'm talking about ESPN. Yeah. I'm here to not camouflage myself, but I'm going to push down my own interests, participate in this environment, and then move on. And then you got other individuals who are not hood adjacent, do not have access to a barbershop, do not feel comfortable speaking in, like, you know,
from the perspective of your nerd. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. You don't have anything else up top to do that. So you, like, deal with less. That's why nappy headed young nerd niggas.
Smash Brothers niggas are so fucking nappy in the first place. No, that's why people say
But because of that, we was like, yo, we want to showcase this. Although we are working on a documentary, you guys are actually be the first ones to get this bit. We are actually positioning it as a docu-series, because right now we're going to con. And DreamCon really opened it up for us, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We started filming at DreamCon, but the goal, we was like, it can't be celebrity driven. Now, we do have some celebrities attached to it.
Ellis is in your trailer,
That nigga's, hey, shout out. My nigga Lawrence did nothing wrong.
I'm Team Lawrence, actually. Lawrence did whatever was right for him.
But we wanted to make sure that, like, we got to talk to the barbershop owner, right? We got to talk to the comic book shop owner. We got to talk to the person who's just the cosplayer. But the moment, and this to me, we got this on camera and we're going to utilize this too for it. The best moment that we had, and it was at DreamCon. So we go there, we cosplay. My guy, he's at Kakashi, right? But yeah. We get in there, we see this dude, young cat, right? I'm talking about iced out, look like Amigos. I'm talking about
chain, dope boy looking watches, motherfucker.
Dope boy, right? So, of course, black culture, we like, hey, nigga, I see you shining, cuz. Hey, I see you.
Good for you, nigga.
Right. Diamond tester, but yo, what's up? Yeah. Hey.
But he like, yo, y'all niggas got the Sharingan? He's like, no, he got the Kakashi hair. He got the, so it's like, yeah.
He jealous of the cosplay.
So me back looking at this, looking at my co-host and this guy interact, I'm like, this is the culture. This is something that if somebody outside the culture was doing a documentary, wouldn't understand this bit.
Right.
But this is something that we
because
understand.
We're here, we can capture this and give it the right perspective.
There's a reason why RDC World works, right? Like, there's a reason why RDC World 1 works, why they can go in and be like, nigga, like just beat this, like, yo, mad hip hop and fucking like sports culture.
Yeah, they participate in the culture.
Because they are heavy in the culture.
And even deeper than that, I it's my own personal belief that every black person has a nerd inside of them.
They do.
Right?
They
every do. Single one of them.
Indeed.
Bro, I talked to, I interviewed Drummer Boy.
Shout out to Drummer Boy. We love him.
And you got to think about it. You talk, y'all like Drummer Boy, Atlanta Dope Boy. Like you think of
you think
all
he not
things.
A nerd, nigga.
Dog, this nigga had talking about we me and him talking about classic video games. He talking about Atari. He pulled out an old school Genesis. Like he's like, I got this in my studio now. This is the one. Like you know, what I'm saying this is the stuff that
this
I'm
my
like,
centerpiece.
Everybody has this, bro. Everybody has this in them. You just got to find it.
Yeah.
That's what's so wild about it is like a lot of us, well, excuse me, not a lot of us, but like some of us had the privilege of being raised by like nerds, like your parents.
Yeah, our mom's a nerd. Yeah.
Pretty like either closeted nerds or had some shit in the background. Like our grandmother was like super into Superman and she loved all the Underworld movies. So like her passion for that shit rubbed off on us very early.
Yeah.
Well, I won't even because you know not to discredit our not to discredit. Maybe you, but once again, sometimes I was like, Grandma, Underworld sucks. I don't know why you keep trying to make us watch this shit.
But you know that's what it is. But when you grow up, because like my pops, I remember he used to be huge in Star Trek, Star Wars. Now as a kid, I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't.
I don't fuck with this shit.
But then I got older. And I'm like, yo, Star Trek fucking fire, dog. Like,
Picard, a whole hoe. I don't fuck with Picard.
He's galactic bitches. This is
real. This shit crazy. Actually,
even my uncle, though. My uncle, I remember. So my dad's he was in the military, so we grew up around the world. So I remember when we first came back to Milwaukee, my uncle, you know what I'm saying, hardcore nigga from the, you know, he gave me these comics, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, I'm gonna give you these comics. Now, I remember I wasn't that deep into comics at that time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But like, and I looking back at it, I'm like, damn, dog, he gave me some heat. He gave me like the first issue of like the Scarlet Spider series.
That's
right?
Crazy.
You know what I'm saying? And me, I'm like, that ain't Spider-Man.
That's Scarlet Spider. I don't give a fuck about no Scarlet.
That's Spider-Man in Houston, nigga. Like, what do you mean? Like,
but at the time, I didn't know. So, you know what I'm saying? I treated it wrong. When I look back, I'm like, dog, I had some heat. Like, he gave me he gave me like the first four issues of X-Force. Right, you know
damn.
What I'm saying?
Oh, damn,
he had heat, and I like really, at the time I did not appreciate it, and I look back on it all the time, like damn, dog.
Damn, I had the Ben Parker joints, I had the whole night. I could have been rich.
I should have been putting this shit in plastic. Like, yo, that's me and Magic the Gatherer. Like, I had a homie just chunk me a butt fuck ton of cards. I didn't realize that they had monetary value with this stuff.
So, right.
I was just like, yeah, shit. I'm shuffling these hoes on countertops with roaches and shit.
But that's why I'm like, you know what? It's very important for this to, because like we've been working on making an exodus from strictly blurred content, right?
Right.
Yeah. That's been over the course of because I think in order for us to grow and like expand the vision, you kind of have to get out of just your audience base. Beside the point, right?
You can't ever leave. Basically, like we had a very interesting talk with somebody else about this.
Nigga, say his name. Nigga,
shout out to Lee Juasos. Yeah, shout out to Juasos. Yeah. He's fucking amazing. Try to put $100,000 in niggas' hands, before shit goes down. Straight up black hands. But we had a conversation about like the fact that like you have like your Tyler the creators, Childish Gambino's, Donald Glover, excuse me, you know, you put some respect on him, that have like used alternative culture and things to that degree
to progress the culture, yeah,
progress themselves and progress the culture, right? They never left Black culture behind, and they rooted themselves in that, but also spoke about their experiences. But once you get to a certain level, right, it's not necessarily all about the culture. And so I don't like, we were making the kind of the move because we was like, hey, look, I'm interested in so many different things, right? And to put it under this scope or this lens all the time is not necessarily going to, like, it's not going to be conducive to this, because I want it to be like the thought, like the idea of it really is going to be even bigger than that. And I want this to shine back on the culture, of course.
Ultimately, like, I want the Black culture to be the dominant, right? And that's real Hotep-y. I understand that. That's fine. I don't care, because I mean, whether I get there in my lifetime or like my lineage gets there, I want Black culture to be the dominant culture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
In terms of not like,
but here's how you can actually do it though, because like, I get what you're saying, but here's where it comes, where what happens is you have to become, when I'm here, I'm the culture, right? Mm-hmm. Like Method Man, think about Method Man. Method Man is hip hop to the core, right? Sure. But hip hop to the core. Huge nerd. So when Method Man does Power, even though he's doing it acting and he's killing it as an acting role, you still see hip hop no matter what.
Yeah.
Because it's in me, right? And so what y'all are trying to do is not leave Blur culture, is that Blur
expand. Culture, I know what
here.
It is.
If I'm here, Blur culture's here.
Right.
Pretty much that's what it is, no matter where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? Like you look at Deezus and Mero, like podcast hip hop culture, but when he's doing late night,
He's still hip hop.
That's what it is.
And, but the thing is, and this is what I'll give you, Mr. Deuces. But like, here's what I'll give you. I think that one, you've had a spectrum of career choices, right? You started in music, you started moving in podcasts. And what's more important is you consume the things that you are pushing.
Yeah.
Right. Like, in order to be a podcaster, you have to listen to podcasts. In order to be a musician, you have to listen to music. In order to be a writer, you have to read. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people who are more concerned with being the thing without consuming the thing to enrich the thing. Right?
There's no part, like, you're not participating, like the culture itself or the thing. You're not like the platform. You're not
right. You are the culture. It's not like I'm claiming the culture. You are the culture, right?
Yeah.
And one thing that I've kind of learned is like, if you're not the culture, you can't really understand when people are making moves to further the culture.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's also hard for people to really tie into you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, if your base is a culture and you want them to be, you know what I'm saying, to support you, you got to be with the people. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you start seeing that and it's like, yeah, I want to be with the people, because like I said, the jokes, the vibes, the conversations, they stem from that. And if I'm reporting on the culture, I got to be where the culture is at. You know, like, the best news anchors, the ones that are there, that are connected to the community, who knows?
Local news is always going to be more enriching than fucking CNN the whole fucking night. You're going to get more from local than you're ever going to get.
They always say, I quote The Wire a lot, but The Wire, you learn a lot. The fifth season of The Wire, when it was focusing on the newsroom, right? Mm-hmm. You saw the difference between the news reporter who knew somebody to go get somebody. It's like, oh, wait, what happened there? All right, let me make a few calls. I know who to talk to, versus the person who didn't know, who was faking the funk. Lester Freeman, his first big showing, when they was trying to find a picture on Avon, nobody knew how to do it. And everybody thought Lester was just this dude sitting there doing his figurines.
Right.
And then when he was like, he heard that box and he said, and he just wrote it down, walked off, came back, poster. It was like, you know what I'm saying? That's somebody.
But he was plugged in. He knew.
Same thing.
That's part of the thing. Like, you have to let, like, and this is one thing that I'm seeing as the culture expands, right? As Blur culture, Black nerd culture, et cetera, expands. A lot of people are trying to hold the people who are like the figureheads of that culture in one place. Like, no, you're our guy. Yeah, stay right the fuck here.
And I mean, like, because I think a lot of us as a whole, like, it's part of the nerd culture almost, right? Is that like, there's a certain degree of like ownership of like, this is us, this is me, right? And so like, we don't want to, you know, let that out, because like, you know, this will taint it or some shit like that.
And it will. But
I mean, like, hey, look, you know, blues was awesome, right? Rock and roll is also awesome.
Blues is great,
right?
yeah, yeah. Like, we love Robert Johnson.
Here's where I always give the pushback to that a lot of times.
Always, right? Please.
Because I think it was Crystal Space, if I'm not mistaken, but they were saying like it's anime getting too mainstream, right? And I was like, but why wouldn't you want it to be mainstream? I said, and this is the example that I used.
Okay.
Marvel Comics, right? The reason why the MCU, no matter how you may be like, oh man, I don't like phase four, but the reason why they sell out is because we are seeing our comics come to life on the big screen, but done at bare minimum, they're done to it where it's realism. Like, oh my God, this is real, yeah, right? So I was real. Like, so this I'm like, cost. Yeah. And so I was like, right now, the reason why we have bad live action anime movies is because we don't have a Kevin Feige yet.
Kevin Feige in that space. That's a great point.
He was a fan of the culture. I was like, so if anime gets mainstream, what we need to focus on is not stopping it from being mainstream.
It's enriching the people who will push that culture.
Exactly. And so that's always my pushback. Cause I'm like, look, I would love to see Naruto and fucking Luffy pushing McDonald's Happy Meals.
That would be dope. I wanted a Naruto toy in my Happy Meal. The fact that
Dragon Ball Z has made its way into Fortnite is an incredible, like, it is huge. It's gigantic.
That's important. 9-year old me would be ecstatic.
And that's the thing. It's like, yes, to me, I'm like, oh, I don't want to see Vegeta doing the latest TikTok dance.
Right.
But then when I think about it, I'm like, hey, but that's actually dope. Like, think about it as the creator.
If Vegeta's doing the fucking, think about what else Vegeta can do if he's doing the fucking Renegade.
Man,
you know if Vegeta can do the Renegade, Vegeta can fucking be in a music video with goddamn anybody,
bro. So
I'm bring up something wild. Like, have you guys saw that fan made Dragon Ball film that went around?
That shit is hard.
It's hard as a bitch.
That shit's hard. We love to see that.
If we didn't have, like, because I love Dragon Ball Z so much. Like, but you remember the lull? The long lull like that was
like 05 to fucking 2013
between Kai and Super. Some people feel like the end of GT or the end of Z, like, you know, there are a lot of people that have different lulls in Dragon Ball Z, but because of the fact that, like, never did it stop, never did Dragon Ball Z ever say like, oh, we're getting too stale, blah blah blah, like let's quit. Mm-hmm. Like, it just kept evolving to the point that now fans are creating like side stories and full-on recreations, retellings that like stretch in and do homage to like Journey to the West and shit like that. Like, it's incredible to see what the culture has expanded to by allowing it to happen.
If you let it, exactly.
Allowing it to get to that point.
You know what? I tell people all the time, I say, so I love Dragon Ball Z. I say Dragon Ball Z is Money Mayweather right now. Yeah. It's Money Mayweather. Mayweather is like, if you are a fan of boxing, you love Mayweather because of his defense. Like, you know, because of his defense, right? Mm-hmm. But people love to hate him, right? And people are loud about, oh, fuck Mayweather, right? But anytime Mayweather say he's going to do a fight, what happens? Sells the fuck out every time.
Because they want the opportunity to see him lose.
And people been shitting on Dragon Ball Z since Super ended. But Dragon Ball Super superhero breaking box office right now. Going crazy.
Fantastic. Niggas are going out of their way to go out. Everybody. When you look, and also I love the fact that when you look around the theaters, like it is a sea of niggas, and then a ton of other, like, everybody's around, like everybody's packed. It's the melting pot. I feel like again, I'm not.
It's the great equalizer to me.
I'm so into like anime and stuff like that I've gotten to a point where I was like, ooh, like let's talk about anything but Dragon Ball Z because it's the only thing.
Of course, right. They got a hold on us though.
Yeah.
Exactly. But
it's important. It's sacred.
It's a connecting factor for a lot of us, right? And so it's the intro point to a lot of our conversations.
Yes.
And people feel played out for that, right? But the thing is that it's still evolving. It's still so hot on the tongue, it's hard not to. So I know a lot of motherfuckers are like, God damn, these niggas are on this Dragon Ball Z shit pretty goddamn hard. But the thing is that it's just an example of a culture. It's an example of a medium, right? That we're like, they're setting up a parallel for where we're trying to take the blurred culture situation, like where we're at. I had to take a second because we were getting hype as fuck. I was like, I felt everybody.
It's my shit. And I'll always, it deserves respect.
Yeah, because I was going to say it's the entertainment factor, because I tell people like I'm reasonable about anime, right? And I tell people all the time, I'm like, if you're gonna argue me story, I agree with you. Dragon Ball Z does not have the best story.
Yeah, but it's deeper than that.
As far as entertainment and action, hey, bro,
it's peak. It's the peak.
It's like, it's, bro, I'm, yo, when them niggas power up, like, oh, it's yeah. like, it's like a sports event. You, yeah. you get engaged. You, yeah. I'm like, you can't beat that, bro.
And it it's emotionally investing because there's always some sort of emotional stake on fucking, you know what I mean? Vegeta fighting fucking Android 19. He was like, this nigga been making me look like a bitch for the past 6 years. Did y'all both get mine.
Y'all yeah. both watched the movie?
No.
Not yet.
I haven't seen
Sabrina. I know what happens, but not yet.
Because I was going to say.
Yeah, you're spoiled.
This is not a big spoiler, but we was talking about on the podcast. We said, Beerus is the blackest person on the show because in this movie this is the most blackest moment. He was like yeah. in this movie he was asleep. He woke up to noise. So just like an angry black man, you're like, hey, who is making all this noise? Fuck
making right? all that damn.
And then he sees some niggas he don't know. He's like, hey, who this nigga in my house? Right? He see Broly. Right? He said, who this nigga in my house? And then he sees somebody cooking. He's like, wait, let me go with. So he came up on a cook. Yeah. He came up on some new muscle, and then he see Chila. He's like, "Hey, y'all, we cool, dog. We cool."
Yeah, right.
And then just like a black person, he become welcoming. He like, "Hey, yeah. y'all want some ice cream? Hey, right, some ice cream in this bitch, bro." Like he be like,
"Let me get this straight, y'all broken my shit. Y'all cooking. you brought some bad bitches. Hey, y'all all right with me, man.
Y'all all right with me, dog.
Y'all cool with
y'all
me.
Y'all good with me, dog.
Yeah."
This is perfect.
It's a cultural, and that's what I love about it. It's a fucking cultural thing. It's a
cultural
right?
thing. And I love the fact that like we are able to look at these characters, see ourselves, see like see these moments play out. Because like for us, right, we didn't spend a lot of the barbershop time, right? A lot of the best conversations and like wisdom getting we got through was family reunions and domino games. Domino yeah. game, like we weren't a spades family. Everybody played dominoes. Like we could like
it's either gonna be dominoes or spades.
Yeah. I mean you gonna learn both. One of the two. But
one of the two.
Right, you got both up top.
Well, yeah, and yeah. if you younger, then it's Uno.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, that's sure. another thing. Look at Uno. Like, look at niggas taking Uno. Niggas have taken Uno. I love it.
Sir, we commandeered Uno.
Like, I'm just being straightforward.
Let me give y'all what DreamCon showed me, because this is to me was the
please
most,
do.
What, yeah, this sorry, excuse us. We diatribe a lot.
Oh, no, it's all right. But this was the most amazing moment for DreamCon for me, because we all been to kickbacks and shit like that, and we know the next we're gonna smoke, we're gonna drink, we're gonna talk about like the latest album and shit. What threw my mind for this is that we was at this kickback, and as we there, like we got into deep anime conversation, and I've never been at a kickback where it was still dominoes being played here, spades, niggas shooting dice upstairs, and the main conversation is, but nigga, JoJo Bizarre Adventure though, nigga, like I was like, yo, and I was like,
yes,
no, I never thought that this could be this, and it's so simple, and I was like, I understand why, but I was like, I've never been in that environment.
Like, it's the moment when you look up, like I love yeah. that, right? Like, cause my biggest thing, the reason I even wanted to do podcasts, right, is because that I feel perspective change so immensely, and I think everybody yes. does, right? Yeah. As your perspective changes, there's this beautiful anime moment, like Tanjiro's fucking subconscious, like where you see the blue sky and it's just yeah. extending and shit. There's this moment where everything clicks and it's like, holy shit, I'm home, or holy fuck, this is what
right. I this is where I was time. This is where I've always supposed
this is
to
what
be
I wanted to create, like this was where right. like this is where I wanted
if to I want to go upstairs and play CeeLo, I can do that, but if I also want to preach about JoJo downstairs, I can do that too.
And that's those are the moments that like I strive for in podcasting, because like meeting and talking to every new individual that we speak to, right, gives us this moment where it's like where did you have this awesome perspective change, like what yeah. like where was this, like what happened? And so like I strive for that. I cannot wait for this moment, because like I play Magic the Gathering and different shit like that, and I would love to have this like, oh, like the moment that you're speaking of, like, where it's like you look around and it's like, oh shit, this is everybody, like all niggas having yeah. fun. And I honestly we're slowly trying to like founder that in ourselves. Like I started an all blurred D&D game that's all based upon like Boondocks and shit.
Yeah, very
and
so. Like,
it's
gonna be crazy.
This is me saying putting things into the atmosphere. Yeah. One of the biggest things that we want to do as far as Geek Set is we want to do kind of like a Geek Set does show. There's a lot of areas of blurred culture that we are not into, but a lot of Black folks is, and we want to show that to the world, right?
Right.
D&D is one of them. Magic and Card Gathering is one of them. There's, you know, Renaissance fairs, shit like that. Like,
yeah, I want to showcase the full blurred that,
right?
spectrum.
Right, yeah. right. But I don't want to do it on a small scale. So if you could, if you doing that, bro, keep building that up.
Yeah, like, I was gonna say, I'm trying to build that.
If things go the way that I'm planning, that, like, I'm giving you my word. You are the person that I would want to run that for.
Hit us up. No, because it's gonna, right? be great. We're working on it right now. You were saying, bro?
Oh, no, I was saying that's the lane that we're like, if that was like when I thought about the role situation and I realized, like, as you had said it, I was like, yo, I've thought about this a lot. And really, I've tried to solidify this multiple times and I have. But like, that's the lane I want to be the geek Renaissance nigga. What's wild is unknown knowledge. Right. This is random little tidbit right here in Texas, like East Texas, especially like right outside of Dallas. There's a fucking Renaissance fair called Scarborough Fair. Alpharetta's out of Waxahachie, Texas, right? Yeah. Then there's also like the Texas Renaissance Festival, one of the biggest in the country, right? There's one nigga, right? And like, there's not a lot of Black people walk around. There's one nigga, right? Shows up and he hits on everybody. He's fucking huge. He's Jack. I've fucked me sideways for not being able to remember this nigga's name, right? And this is the type of shit I want to expose. I'm like, being able to have this person's like name on hand. It's like you said, say their name and shit. But basically, he goes to every fair in the same costume, every fair. Like, he updates it as time goes on. He's this character and he's like semi-famous, like amongst Renaissance.
Right, because of that. Yeah.
Because of the fact that he's gone out. And he's also, like, as my mom being a Black nerd, like, we've had, like, she sat down and have like full-on conversations with him. And he's just like, yeah, I'm trying to show people. It's like, yeah, like, we're out here too.
And seeing that, that's what I love, because that's exactly what I want. I want to be able to be like, you know what I'm saying? I'm seeing, as much as I hate the Paul brothers,
fuck them niggas. But also, they are to be respected.
Well, see, and that's what the thing is. I was like, in the black world, the Black community, there's always like, okay, if I'm good at this, and then I try to branch out, niggas like, hey man, stick to that, right? Yeah, but the Paul brothers can legit say that they are a recording artist. They got songs with Gucci. Mm-hmm. Call themselves an actor. They can legit call themselves a boxer, professional wrestlers,
newscasters.
They can call this stuff and nobody is flinching. They're just like, okay. And that's what I'm like, I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to be like, go to a network, like, hey, look, I got a show. I know a nigga that's doing mad D&D content. I want to put a camera on him. Let's produce it. Let's talk about it. Yeah. Let's get that out there.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is that there's always like some, and wow, I almost said some real anti-Semitic shit just then. I was like, yeah,
it's all right. You know, if it's too bad, I'll cut it up.
Anyway, there's always some crafty Jew out there that's like, yo, I know a guy. Like, that's how Motown started. Like, it was like, you know, I sell car, like Cadillac Records. I sell cars. Like, you know, fucking around and like, okay, I'm gonna sell this, like, use my equity here and like move it over to records and shit. Like that. Being able to say, like, I've got equity or I've got social currency here because I've built it and I've made a platform and a space to say, now I know I'm a tastemaker, I'm a curator. I'm a representative of this culture and this thought process. I love the fact that, like, you're trying to be the inside band.
That's a step we're all at in creating this culture. It's like, hey, the person who kind of sets the pace, the person who kind of like introduces the concept of X, Y, and Z, right? Like, we may never become the biggest blurred podcasters.
Yeah.
We might not, but fucking like, we may never become like, you know, the premier D&D people, but we might just be the first. We might just be the genesis first point for so many people to be like, oh, I remember I used to watch this nigga when he did that. And ultimately, that's the piece that keeps the whole shit moving.
I think that because the end all be all was never, the goal was never just to like blow up as this one particular thing. That was never my goal. So if I'm not like the best, but I am the first, right? That opens the door for
the best to show up.
Right.
Opens the door for, like, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, but it also goes to building this tribe. So, like, you know, I was shout out to Glove from the Worst Gen podcast. I was telling him.
The Worst Gen, they do a lot of fucking fantastic shit.
So this is what I said. I told him, I was like, the relationship that I have with them is really dope, because like I invited them to do, you know, we was doing something called for Black History Month called What Does Black History Month Mean to You by the Blur Community. And I reached out to GB, right? That was kind of like my first introduction to them, you know what I'm saying, and having a conversation with them. And so when I talked to Glove, I was telling him, I said, bro, like they look at what we doing at Geeks and like, yo, y'all niggas doing it. And I'm like, I'm looking at them like, yo, but what y'all doing, we can't do. And I want to continue to big up y'all. I'm in y'all spaces, not just because I'm there. I'm in it because I'm a fan of what y'all do. And to me, I'm saying that's what we need to continue to do, because it's like you said, y'all may be the first. It doesn't have, it's not necessarily about who's the biggest. It's about who works the hardest. I see what Glove and them do. They work hard. They deserve everything that they get. If you are putting in that work with the D&D and that community, you deserve, like you don't have to be the biggest, but if you work the hardest, you're going to get the love. And then think about it this way. You got Worst Gen's crew and they start, you know, and their fan base, they start shouting y'all out. They got Geek Set, we shouting y'all out. Y'all shouting them out now.
Yeah, the community comes.
Blended. Now, you know what I'm saying? It's the same way as like the reason why. And I think that like we see the famous podcasters do it and we don't even understand it. Like we watch $1 million worth of game, Joe Budden podcast, Rory and Maul, Brilliant Idiots. You watch all of these, they reference each other. So it's like,
They're an ecosystem.
So when they say something, you like, oh, I do remember they was talking about that on the other podcast. Yeah, right?
And it's like adding to that, like Adam 22. I was like, the No Jumper sphere is starting to like
No Jumper getting crazy.
So it's like, that's what I'm, that's always my focus. I'm like, look, I don't have to be, just because I'm doing well with interviewing, I don't have to be also the nigga in Twitter spaces or the nigga that's doing original. Like, no, let's celebrate it. If somebody is killing it there, y'all got it. Hey,
yeah, that's your vibe. That's your lane. Let's grab it.
Right.
We spoke to Moody not too long ago, and that episode may never come out. But we spoke to Moody not too long ago, and she was just like going on and on about how like the future of Twitter spaces could really open doors for like a fuck ton of people, right?
Well, think about I'll let you get finished up. I was going to say the last thing. Think about people that are on a promo run, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's let's say if somebody says, I want to get into the blurred culture, I want to talk to the blurred culture.
Who do I need to talk to?
I may interview you, right? But also, yo, if y'all gonna be out there, yo, go
get in the space with
this person and them, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But also, hey, you know, Blurred Over be doing the interview.
You can get with Blurred Over. You can get with fucking
like you start bringing people into that realm. So now it's just like, oh shit.
Now we really introducing you,
and
nobody's gonna do that quite like niggas.
I was about to say, that's a superpower that we have, is that our hospitality is on an entirely different level, because we are a race that was subjugated for so goddamn long. Like a good chunk of us have hospitality damn near bred into our bones.
Well, I don't want to say this for too long, but it's so late in the podcast that I can say it. So I'm in the military, right?
Yeah.
I'm still active. So one of the weird things that you'll see, I don't even want to hear that shit, because none of us are here because we want to be.
I get that, but I still got it. You know what I'm saying? My pops.
Yeah.
So
salute to your pops. But so with Black people in particular, Black people, Filipinos are like, they run the hospitality industry in every military government situation, right? If you look at any government hospitality corps or like, you know, corporation, it's always a nigga somewhere at the top, right? Yeah. It's always a Filipino dude somewhere at the top. And that's just because like everything that we've gone through has shown us what to value.
Yeah. If I was gonna say empathy, some people could look at what I said as far as like, oh, hospitality and shit, bread in our bones and shit like that, would like, oh, you're a naturally subservient race. It was like, no, just empathy.
I know what it's like to not be treated with respect.
Right.
It's super heavy in us. And so knowing what it's like to go through life and being treated as a second class citizen, or how it feels to be socially ostracized, not like verbally or pushed out, but to have little things that are obstacles in your day-to-day life that are inconvenience, like that are inconveniences that people do not ever have to see, right? Having that perspective allows us to be fantastic hosts.
That's why we're the most disrespected race, right?
Agreed.
Because we are the most welcoming. We are the most. We leave ourselves open for the most. You know what I'm saying? Because like even
you're not wrong.
Even if you take something as simple as inviting somebody to the cookout, we do that because it's just like, all right, you seem a little bit cool. You know what I'm saying? Then we find
come meet my
like,
people.
Ah, damn, yeah, you really the ops. But it's because we put ourselves out there. We like, look,
exactly.
All right, you know what I'm saying?
Whole time you was the ops. Who would have thought?
But that's because we know, like, okay, if you're doing something against your norm, we know, like, you probably going to get met with a lot of shit from your peoples. Hey, man, we fuck with you.
Yeah.
You cool. And then we find out you the ops. We're like, damn, we can't fuck with you. No. But it was like, but the reason why we deal with that so much is because we're so open and we're so welcoming. I forgot which comedian said it, but he was like, it was a joke, and he was like, if you go back into African culture, right? Mm-hmm. We were a plentiful culture. We was like, yo, you need something to eat? We got to feed the family. We got to feed the nation. We were so accomplished. You know what I'm saying? So we didn't know that stinginess and shit like that. Once we got captured and we got, you know, kidnapped and like we started seeing that behavior.
Once we saw all the shit coming.
Oh, yeah. It was like,
Originally it's always love. It's always that.
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing. And like, not to say we didn't have war.
And that's my bad, bro. Not to shit on that, but like, I had to learn how to be an asshole. I had to learn how to not be generous. I had to learn how to not share. So,
indeed. And that's because of the fact that, like, I'm a family oriented nigga. Like, that's just how I am. Like, when it comes to, I learned because, like, I'm a oldest of three siblings, right? I've got an extended.
And we appreciate you for doing all that shit, nigga. If you want your flowers, here's your flower.
Wooty woo, blah blah blah. Oldest, blah blah blah. I'm saying that like I'm the oldest of three siblings. My father was the oldest of three siblings, right? Everybody was very close knit. If you need $50 and you're like you need it, like aunt's gonna hit you up. Your brother can hit you up. You can hit somebody and they'll give you your last 50, and they know somewhere down the line it's gonna come back to you.
Right.
And that was bred into us as people. And what he means about having to learn how to be an asshole is that like when you take that mentality and you apply it to your friends, you apply it to motherfuckers, you find that people will take advantage because if you're a well that don't run out, like if you just like you can keep pumping this motherfucker and it don't run.
Some people don't. Yeah, there's definitely some people who don't realize. Like, hey, what you're asking for is way too much. It's not even what I would have gave you in the first place.
Yeah, you can hit me with a quarter of what you just asked about. Like, then maybe, like, yeah. But I was just saying that in that, like, that's just a mentality thought process.
Well, no, to your point, I think that is the essence of blurred culture. Because, like, since we've been in this space, like, people, I haven't heard no. I haven't heard. You can't have that, or nah, I'm keeping that for me, et cetera, right?
Yeah.
And that's such a beautiful fucking thing, but I'm just like, hey, at what point in time does that run out?
Yeah. And now, on a quick crazy note, you had mentioned way at the beginning that every Black person you feel like has a little nerd inside of them is like where you find it, right? And I feel like that's because our culture is built on like a very we're built on mythos. We love mythological stories. Anansi the spider, the trickster god, like all sorts of shit. Like we have stories that we brought over, stories that have come up. Like we're a very like, even my dad's like, yeah, nigga, I saw Bigfoot when I was 14. Like it's like, and I believe that.
I really did. I truly did. I'll die for it.
We are avid lovers of horror. We love like all of these like slasher films. Like we are a huge portion of a lot of these things. Like we make as a whole, we make up a good chunk of the opinion of the influence. I'll say we have a huge influence on a great.
We control culture. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, and so us as blurreds, right? Anime, right, is incredibly mainstream. It's worked this way in all forms of fashion, and that's because almost every rapper I've talked to or seen has been some type of nerd. Like I love the fact that Wu-Tang Clan are a great, like, a good deal of them are all comic book niggas, right? Like,
man,
like, coming in like your neighborhood Spider-Man, like who cut like niggas is dropping Spider-Man bars way back then, like.
So I got this ongoing list of like rappers. I believe everything that they say, right? You know what I'm saying? Like Beanie Siegel, whatever he say.
I believe everything that nigga say. Yeah.
Ghostface, one of the niggas, everything he say, I believe. But I'm like, this is the hardcore, most hardcore ass nigga. But his name is Ghostface. This is based off of comic book shit.
Yeah. Ghostface. It's crazy. And it all roads back. It's fucking, it's wild.
Wow. Yeah. And I dig the fact that like we've been able to give love. So as a question, And because of the fact that a lot of the things like anime, things like a lot of the geek shit comes from the East, right? Are you working with any Eastern motherfuckers? Like, do you have like any individuals in the Asian community that you're like, you're trying to fuck with there at all?
Eastern
like,
motherfuckers is crazy. I would never don't call them that. What the fuck? I was East Coast.
Yeah. That's also one thing that we are addressing with in general with the Black Geek documentary. Because like when we put it together, I said, you know, even though this is going to be based off of the Black Geek experience, this is not to exclude how much we love Japanese culture, right?
Yeah, so that's like, the root.
That's the root. And I say, so we also have to make sure that we have those aspects and elements of there, you know, at least within it, because, you know, we got to talk about it. Like, yeah, this is not just Black culture that was stemmed from just only Black culture. This right. is Black culture that we, that was an extension off of the Japanese culture that we learned to love. And we started seeing things.
Yeah.
I think that's the winning formula, because if you look at hip hop, that's what they did. A lot of the times it's like, yo, no, we got these samples from disco artists. We got these samples from artists. Mm-hmm. And like the fact that our, cause I love the fact that as Black people, right. And cause I think that we're the kind of exclusive in this is that we build cultures upon the things
other
that
culture,
culture, like hip hop itself, right. Is built on the fact that like, disco's dope, the fact that like blues and funk is dope, that we can take
I was able to take an entirely different genre and then create my own based off of like what you had beforehand give you credit on top of that. So
exactly, because you're like the fact that like the music business has had to go through such an evolution and like who gets paid, how shit is cut, like, you know, what's cleared, which is that's a whole different fucking thing, like the clearing of samples and shit. But I just say that like that's an interesting thing that you're even trying to address it, because I think about it on a day, like, damn, I really feel like I want to start talking to more of these producers, more of these. I want to like see if I can get a mangaka and a translator on one day. It's like, because that would be dope. I feel
I was gonna say, because that's, you know, again, my thing is, okay, right now, if we are doing the documentary, like you guys said, this is, it may not be the biggest documentary that come out of this culture, but it's the first, right?
It's the first.
So I said, if we are going to lay the stage, let's lay it right, because this is going to be a part of history now. People, when they talk about Blur culture, and if we are successful in at least getting this documentary out, then this is going to be a reference point. And I said, if we go at it all fluff, or even with the culture not really having a voice in it, then people are going to, that we're going to get, it's like, oh, that we don't count that one. That's not
them
the one
niggas
that,
wasn't shit. Fuck right. them. Right. Niggas.
Yeah. And so that's why, like, even when we go to these conventions, when we're interviewing people, you know, one of the questions that we ask people is, if somebody was to tell you that there was a documentary coming out about this culture and what you do, what are some things that you want that if it's
what not, would you want to ask?
If it's not in this documentary, is you're going to deem it fraudulent. Mm-hmm. And because I'm like, I said, if we are reporting on the culture has to have a voice. So we can't just be like, oh yeah, do we know what this is going, what is going, because that's where most people fuck up at.
Yeah.
Is when they say, oh, I know what the culture want. They want this, and they don't consult nobody. It's like, no, talk to the people. So we are giving the culture a voice. And that's why we said it can't be celebrity driven. That's why when we're at these cons, we're talking to just the person who's the cosplayer who's buying, buying the Funko Pop. But we're also talking to the person who creates the shirts, or the person who's making, you know, Akatsuki durags. Like, yo, let me know your
participants of the culture. Yeah.
You got to talk to the culture, so that way this can be a true representation of it. And you know, that's why I said that, like, we're low key, even though it's called the Black Geek documentary, we're pitching it as a series, because as we're going and all the footage that we're getting, we're having a good 30-minute session with just vendors where we're just chopping it up. And I'm like, yo, I don't want to shortchange this. Like, yeah, we're going to pitch it as a documentary, but if we can get the bag and say, look, we can do a series. Each episode is based off of an aspect, because then we can say, okay, this is the barbershop episode. We're going to talk to a whole bunch of barbers across the world who love anime. All right, this is the one. Yeah. We're going to talk to all the podcasts that we can. Okay, now we're going to talk to, you know what? This is a person who just loves Japanese food, ramen and all that. Let's talk to the foodies.
Right, get them
you know
involved.
Now there's specific episodes. Now we're telling the culture episodically. It's like, we're gonna talk to the animator, we're gonna talk to the producer, we're gonna talk to just the person who you ain't even trying to be, you just like to go to conventions to see the cosplays.
I'm
bigger than Channel 5, I'm bigger than Channel 0, I'm like really out here digging
doing deep.
And so and showcasing like the excellence that lives in the crap, like excellence that lives in the community. Go ahead.
I know we only got you for a few more minutes. You're doing a lot. You're doing a whole lot. You're contributing a lot. You're doing a lot, and you're doing things that I feel like a lot of people have never fucking done before, right? And one thing that I always ask people who are doing things that have never been done before is, what hurdles have you kind of ran into? Like, has booking guests been kind of been like a bit of a headache? Has
like organizing the information been kind of an issue, finding a direct line?
Right. Because sometimes the nuts and bolts is the hardest part. Like, being scared of like everything that goes into it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you could simplify your process in the easiest way, how do you feel like you would do it?
Well, so my process. So this is a two-part answer in regards to that, because booking guests have been hard, but my thing is, like, I always have the thought process of the worst thing somebody can tell me is no.
Exactly.
So I legit reach out to everybody. I'm talking about, I've reached out to A-list to Z-list. I'm talking about, I reached out to Samuel Jackson. I reached out to, you know what I'm saying, Chadwick Boseman, rest in peace. But before, you know, I reached out to him, you know, but it's like, and yeah, I'm getting the no's. But also I'm getting a whole lot of yeses, or I'm getting a later on, or yeah, we gotta, you know, we'll schedule this a little bit later and everything like that. So it's patience in regards to that. I think the biggest hurdle for me, and it's kind of like an imposter syndrome a little bit, but it is that, like, I'm still such a fan, and I still consider myself lucky to be able to even be in this position to do so, right? So when I'm reaching out to people and people like show interest, like, oh, yo, I want to be a part of this, because I'm like, all right, okay, I don't have all the money to pay people properly, their proper fee, right? Nope. So like I get in my head about that, where it's like, it's sometimes it's hard for me to ask people for help, because like I immediately think about, okay, if I'm going to ask them, I got to be able to pay them, and I can't
I got to be able to at least give you something in return.
So I'm not going to ask them yet. And then like it took, like, you know what I'm saying, the people that are working with me, they're like, bro, just tell them what you're doing. I was like, people are like, though I'm like, to book somebody for an interview, I'm like, oh, worst they can say is no. But to work with somebody, I get in my head and I don't have that same thought process.
Right.
So like, that's the biggest hurdle.
Because it's deeper than just asking you to sit down and have a sit down with
them. Right. It's another thing. It's one thing to be like, yo, can I get an hour? Can I get like 25 minutes? You know, a little bit of time, like just to kind of sit down and have a conversation. That's one thing. To be like, hey, look, I want to get like into like intimate details and like your thought process
right.
like this, because I actually want to try to build something, a whole different thing.
Getting you to contribute.
So I'll give you the biggest what's the name? So shout out to Will Ferrell from the RK Tokens, right? RK Tokens, all deaf digital. Like, I'm so like, we all deaf, a lot comes with that. You know, I had a chance to interview him, and then like he brought me on to a lot of his podcasts. It was called Straight Out of Comic Book. We just chop it up, talk about comic books, right? It's me, him, Dion Lack, and CT is dope, right?
That's dope.
Right. So really dope collective, right? So we got this group chat going, and I'm like, yo, right now I feel like, yo, you my nigga, right? You know what I'm saying? We done chopped it up. We got press for Crunchyroll Expo, but it was also during the weekend of C2E2. We were knowing we were going to C2E2. Chicago's just the drive. Crunchyroll Expo was in San Jose. We couldn't make it. So I'm like, damn, dog, we can't get out there, but I want to get that for the
Black. Yeah, I need the coverage. Canary.
Need that for the.
Right? So I'm like, all right. I've been chopping up with Will a lot. I'm like, damn, but I was like, I can't pay him a lot. You know what I'm saying? But I can still, you know what I'm saying, help out. So I'm like, in my head for like 3 weeks straight, like, damn, I got to ask him, how am I going to approach him? You know what I'm saying? And so, you know what I'm saying? My host, he was like, bro, just ask him, bro. Y'all been doing a lot together.
Right.
So
he might fuck with you.
Yeah, I hit him up and he's like, bro, yeah, bet I'm going to do this. Like, he coming with ideas. His excitement to work with us. And he was like, yo, don't even worry about it. I'm going to be out there saying I'm Geek Set. And I'm just like, yo, to me, I'm looking, I'm like, nigga, you Will Ferrell. You all deaf digital.
I don't know if you noticed, you're a big deal.
Right. I know. I'll throw your cape on, nigga, and I got you. Like,
yeah, but I'm just like, yo. So it's like, it's still me getting over that, because even during this process, you know, when we was down there at DreamCon, shout out to Panda. Panda was like, she was hearing
that name. One day we got to talk.
One day we got to talk. She part of Worst Gen, but like she was mad welcoming, right? So it's like, I'm there as a fan for Worst Gen. So I'm like, all right. But they was doing the kickbacks, they was doing brunches, like they was planning mad off cycle stuff. Mm. And for me though, I'm just like, I don't want to be a bother. You know what I'm saying? And nobody informally invited me, so I ain't going to pop up. But then the week afterwards, Panda like, yo, where the hell was you at? I'm like, oh man, I saw it, but like nobody, she was like, you should have just came out. You know, she was like, you know what I'm saying? And so it's like me getting accustomed to that, to people being like, yo, just fuck with us, bro. Like, we good. Like, don't, like, we not even on that. Like, that's been the biggest hurdle for me. Right. Even with some
getting out of your own way.
Bro, yes. Even with some of the celebrities that reached out for the documentary, I'm like, oh, you want to be a part of this? I was like, yeah. I'm like, I'm thinking like, okay, you A-list voice actor. There's no, I can't pay that fee. Yeah. But they're like, no, let me know. I got you. I'm like,
pro bono type shit, like, to be a part of the culture.
Yeah.
And that's one thing, like, in especially in this space, because like we've gotten yeses from people that I'm like, wow, how the fuck did we get that? How did that happen? Yeah. And it's just like, a lot of times it's just getting out of your own fucking way. Like when you're just creating something, when you're trying to expand something, it's just like, hey, some people might just say yes because they fuck with what you represent.
Yeah, I'm about to say literally because you came at them and said, hey, look, this is what I'm trying to do for the culture. This is what I'm trying to do for X, Y, Z. Like, it's like, hey, look, I fuck with that. I don't know you, but this whole situation, I'm a part of this. And I want to
It's on all levels. So, you know, like, you know, I don't take shit for granted at all.
You can't. You can never.
Even the fact of y'all reaching out saying, hey, I want you to jump on this. Like, that shit means so much to me so much because it's like, you know what I'm saying? I keep it a bean. In music, you're not used to that. There's been
get that in music.
In music, if you are successful, it becomes a deterrent for somebody else's success, mm-hmm. right? So you get used to the backhand compliments. I see you doing it. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You get used to that. So in podcasting and blur culture, I have not been faced with that. So yeah. I'm automatically a little bit guarded up and I'm just like, mm-hmm. oh, isn't that? So I'm like, oh shit, y'all want me to come on y'all shit? Yo.
So y'all cool with this, right?
I'm here, bro. I'm like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm very appreciative of being on podcasts like this, or, you know what I'm saying? Even being able to chop it up with niggas, like, you know what I'm saying? Or like, I'm that person that still checks and replies to every comment. But I'm truthful to it. Like, hey, man, I truly appreciate you watching this. I appreciate your time looking into this. I appreciate you, you know what I'm saying? Because it's that. Right. It's like, yo, to me, I'm like, yo, I'm a nigga from Milwaukee, bro.
I was never supposed to be here in the first fucking place.
The fact that you even know who the fuck I am, the fact you're here, even commenting, man. Like, I don't know you from Tim Dog and Harry, bro. Like, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It matters.
Like you're fucking, like, you know, fulfilling little dreams, dog. Like, cause we never in my life would I be like 6 degrees separation anywhere near like someone that's spoken to Lamar Morris, Les Alonso. Be your fucking B. Like, and the thing is that what I love about this whole time that we've had with you, which thank you, by the way, so much for carving out a time in your day for us, man. But like, just in this time frame, you've been so cool, been so genuine, even honest to like in
letting people, forthcoming.
Yeah, forthcoming about the fact that it's like, yo, I get in my own way about this. Like, I'm nervous about like talking to people because this is something I deal with on a regular basis. Imposter syndrome. I'm like, there's no way.
It makes it tangible to people who are trying to figure this shit out. So,
bro, you know. Exactly. The fact that, so this is I'll leave it, like, y'all with this, right? Mm. So my whole process of getting interviews, I always like to give the nuggets out. This is where I'm like, yo, this blows my mind because, again, I have that thought process of the worst thing people could say is no. So this is legit what I do. And I say this, I don't have no problem sharing the keys. We all know IMDb.
Yeah.
There's a pro version called IMDb Pro, right? Mm-hmm. And anybody can sign up. You don't got an invite. You can sign up. But what it does is, and the next time you go to IMDb, look at it. There's a little button that says, get booking information, blah, blah, blah. And if you click it, it turns to this new website called IMDb Pro. Now, once you sign up, right, what it is you get access to seeing everybody's contact info, right? Mm-hmm. So this is what I tell people all the time. I say where a lot of people shoot themselves in the foot is like, oh, you know what? I want to interview, Phil Lamar.
Yeah.
So I'm a DM Phil Lamar. Yo, Phil Lamar, I want to get you on there, right? Where I started thinking, and this is knowing from music, I'm like, yo, you know what? The person who's in charge of Phil Lamar's identity is his publicist. And he also has a manager and he also has a talent agent. So when I do, I say, I'm going to create this pitch and then I'm going to email them. I'm going to say, hey, this is what we're about. We would love to get Phil Lamar on to talk about this, that, and the third, blah, blah, blah. Now that process, because now I know on IMDb Pro, I can find everybody's stuff. I'm utilizing it. I'm going to who
else can I go to? Yeah.
And I'm going. And so I'm emailing everybody. This is where it comes back into play. And I tell people all the time, like, you can't get lost by the no's, because there's people that I get multiple no's from. Laz Alonso, when he first got on The Boys, I hit his people. They said no. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next year for season two, I hit his people again. They said no. He was coming to C2E2. We was covering that press. I said, hey, we're going to be there. Can we just pull him away? We can chop it up. They said no. Season three comes out right before it. His people, they was like, yes. And it's like, is that? You know, yeah. Ellis thing. I hit Jay Ellis people up in like September of 2021. September of 2020. They was like, you know what? He's filming right now. He can't hit us back in February. I said, all right, cool. February hit. I had the alert on my calendar. February came. I hit him up. Yo, just following up. Just want to see if we can make this happen. We can hit us back in April, though. Hit him back in April. You know what? He can't do it now, but we can set something up for August. And I said, what date? They said, this date, this time. I said, cool. I'll follow up at the beginning of August. At the end of August. Hey, just want to make sure we're still good. Yeah, we're still good. Got that. And that was during the season finale of
Insecure. Yeah, that's, you know, the hype. The best time to get this nigga.
Right. And so, like, I spend a lot of time researching, because sometimes they'll have incomplete information. So then I found this other website called Rocket Reach. Rocket Reach is for press, like news people. What they do is, like, if you need to reach somebody, you can find the CEO. So I utilize three things: IMDb Pro, LinkedIn, and Rocket Reach. Mm-hmm. That's how I find anybody's contact, because LinkedIn also, you can see a company, you can see the publicist, you can see everybody that works under it, because they put their professional. So I'm like, I'm not hitting up the talent, I'm hitting up the people in charge of their personality, their visuals, right? Let them know. And what I'm selling is, I'm like, look, every interview that you're doing, like for mine, I'm like, every interview that this person is going to go to, Jay Ellis, they're going to talk about Insecure. They're going to talk about relationship. Right. They're going to talk about all this stuff. I said, I don't care about that shit.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about comic book animes. And so on that interview, like, I'm the only interview that Jay Ellis is talking about his love for Blue Beetle and DC Comics, and how if he can play a character, he wants to play Blue Beetle, right? And so I'm just like, I tell people all the time, it's like, it's about the work that you put in. Like, I know sometimes it seems mundane, but a lot of the times I'm just on IMDb Pro, like, okay, who? Let me find these people. Let me reach out.
Scrolling.
Yeah. And then here's where it came back full circle. Because I'm reaching out to these publicists and everything like that, they're publicists for people, for brands, for movies. So then one of the publicists that I hit, you know, so I got their client on there. Now they're saying, hey, we also got this other client we represent. Hey, we got this other client represent. Then they hit you up for the big joint. We had did something for Showtime for the movie, The Man Who Fell to Earth. We did you know what I'm saying, recap review. That's because the publicist for Showtime, who was also representing a client, said, hey, I like what y'all did with that interview. Can y'all do something for this show? We'll give you an early screening for it. So we watched the movie before.
Getting that as a W.
And just getting there. And that's the thing. Because you're hitting up publicists, and they start like, okay, Geekset is a publication that we can rock with. And stuff like that is through stuff. So it's like, it is that. It's like, you got to just put that work in, but you got to be smart with it. You know what I'm saying? I get it going straight to the actor or the artist, but if you can find the people that's in charge for getting them
places, the whole brand,
because then you build a relationship with the artist. Now the artist or the actor or whoever you talk to, they like, yo, you my nigga, right? I had a couple people like, look, I'm about to follow you. Hey, you ain't got to hit my people no more. Hit me directly whenever you need me. And so it's like, it's stuff about like that. You know what I'm saying? So that's my tip. I try anybody who listen, I give them that same bit of game. Cause I'm like, bro, we don't have no network backing us, no major names backing us, nobody lobbying for us. Everything that you've seen with Geeks have been us. You know what I'm saying? And it is because of that. Using that thought process, like, oh, I know if I was going to book somebody as an artist to perform at a club, I got to hit their booking agent. I can't hit the artist because the artist is making it.
And that's just how it goes. That's the professional landscape.
Yeah. So knowing that, I utilize that for podcasting, and that's how I end up getting all the people that I get.
Fuck yo, yeah. You dropped a great gem for
us. I'm about to say, like, no, we were quiet for a bit. I was just like, yo, this nigga is giving the game. No,
he gave up the keys. Like he said earlier, like, I'll give you the keys. It's up to you to use them.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm about to say, he said multiple times, I've been giving people information. I've been giving people, like, you said that in pre-pro. I was like, yo, but niggas are not taking it. But hey, look, if you see Young Deuces Geek Set. Anybody repping the Geek Set squad, you see merch, you see the man in his merch, it looks fantastic. Yeah. Like, if yes, you sir. See this out there in a con of your choosing, of your choice, understand, run up on them niggas, rush them right now. Tell them all your grievances, the problems with anime. Yeah. All the problems and issues that you have. No, but seriously though, like, if you do see them out, give them a big shout out, show them some love, like, you know, and if they ask you for an opportunity to fucking give like an interview or something like that, say you heard this shit from the Well-Spoken Token. Like, oh, just
drop it out there. If you want. Yeah, that's up to you.
Yeah, if you want. Yeah. So we get in the documentary, whether the nigga puts us in there or not. Like, we got a fan.
It's okay if we don't. That's all.
Like, you guys go to cons, get out there and get it. Yeah, harass this
definitely.
Nigga.
Definitely.
But really, hey, Young Deuces, it's been fantastic having you, brother. You left plenty of tidbits. Is there anything you're trying to, like, you know, you're about to do pretty soon, you want to like talk about real quick just to let people know?
Well, the big thing, obviously, we've been talking about the documentary. We got our website, theblackgeekdocumentary.com. If you want to know more about it, that website has all of our interviews. It has the story about what we're trying to do. It also has ways that you can support us. We tell people there's two big ways that you can support us. Obviously, we have the financial aspect. So if you can, you know, donate to our GoFundMe, because we are crowdfunding, that helps out in regards to there. But if you can't financially help us out, getting the word out there is just as important. So whether it is retweeting, posting the trailer, using the hashtag Black Geek Documentary, all of that matters, because we're building this about the culture and we're trying to continue to go. So that is the big, big thing. When does this come out?
Probably like a month and a half.
Okay, so yeah. So by the time this is out, man, you'll see, man, we did some press work for the movie Honk for Jesus, man. Check that out. That's been really dope, man, being able to work with them and actually be a part of the press junket for that and everything. Mm. And so by the time this come out, then that means that the interview with B.O.B. is out. The interview with John Clarence Stewart, you'll go check that out. That's Big Teak from P-Valley.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So check that out. And then also we got the legendary Bill Duke, man, for Predator. Ooh. We interviewed him. That's all out right now. So yeah, check that out. And then always, man, check out Well-Spoken Token, man. Like I said, I tell you guys, I am extremely, extremely appreciative of being here on this platform. And you know me, like I said, I like to amplify people's voices. So I appreciate my time here and appreciate what you guys are doing, man.
Hey, appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much. Yo, this is the Well-Spoken Token. We love you guys. We out of here. Peace.